Let's pray. So Father, we commit this morning to you. Now as we look into your word, we ask that you will minister to us from your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be with us as we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to bring you a word from what the Lord spoke through Moses to the nation of Israel. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. In this multiple choice question, the Lord gave the model answer, choose life. If we grasp this, and this is something very significant, how we live our lives, whether it is a life that is the abundant life, the more abundant life, whether it's a life of blessings, a life of overcoming, is our choice. And this multiple choice question, God gave the model answer, choose life. So this choosing has to be something deliberate, intentional, explicit. But how do we work this out? We are also told in the scriptures, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. A very familiar verse. And it says that those who love it, if you love life, if you love the word of God, if you love God, you will choose life and blessings. Which means that for every situation, for every occasion, for every encounter, for every meeting, is it a choice? And this choice has to be developed. This choice has to be intentional. And if you're not, we will be careless and we will flip, we will trip, we will fall, we will stumble others. So based on this, we are very familiar, all right? In life, conversations, talking is something we do every day. In the workplace, in the marketplace, in the family, in conversations, after this, over lunch, all right? In the socials, when you go for a walk, when you go to the gym, we talk and we chit and chat. And in the church, that's what we do. We encourage each other. We give each other a high five. We just praise the Lord. We encourage each other in the small group. But in the church, what do we do? Also do, we gossip, we criticize, we complain, we murmur, and we curse. And therefore, it's a choice. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And therefore, we want to look at various things today. I was reading this article from a magazine that comes from down from Australia, and there was this senior Australian pastor. He invited a young American pastor through some connections to go to Australia to minister for a series of meetings. And before this young American pastor came over, he asked the Lord, is there a word I have from you, Lord, to bless this young American pastor? He prayed about it, he thought about it, and after a few days, he thought he received this word. Tell the young American pastor, stop cursing your unborn children. The young American pastor came with his wife, she was pregnant, all right, and then they had a series of meetings. On one of the nights, after the meeting, immediately a couple of the eldest wives went to the Australian pastor and the American pastor. Hey, let's go quickly. You're telling this young American pastor, your wife has just been admitted to the hospital. She was bleeding. Cut the long story short, the gynae at the hospital stopped the bleeding. And then this young American pastor went and held the hands of his wife. He says, darling, this Australian pastor has just given me a word. He says, stop cursing our unborn children. Does this make any sense to you? The wife paused for a few seconds. It was a long few seconds. After that, she told her husband, yes, yes, dear. You remember, you always wanted to have daughters. You live in a family of all boys, all men. Your mom passed away, your dad, and they have all your brothers, and you have always wanted a daughter. And in the earlier pregnancies, I had two miscarriages because you wanted daughters, not sons. And right now, this current pregnancy is under threat. So as I was reflecting on this and looking into the scriptures and asking the Lord, my mind was brought to this passage of the birth of John the Baptist. We are familiar with this story. John the Baptist, the parents were Zechariah, the chief priest, and Elizabeth. The Bible records them as righteous and godly. The angel Gabriel, the archangel, announced to Zechariah, you will have a child in your old age, and you shall name him John. Two two thoughts crossed Zechariah's mind. Number one, he is old. How can this old wife of his, Elizabeth, be pregnant and give birth to a child? And secondly, John, nowhere in the genealogy is anyone called John. And what happened? Immediately, Zechariah was struck dumb until the day of John's birth. And in thinking through, reflecting through, why? This was to protect John the Baptist from being miscarried by any word curses that may be uttered by his father, Zechariah. The father, Zechariah, is the chief priest. He is the father. He's got positional authority. Words carry weight. Why? We ask in the larger scheme of things. And as you study scriptures, there are two Greek words for the will of God. You can Google this. One is called the bulima will of God, which is irrevocable, unchanging. The other is the thelema will of God, which depends on our cooperation with the will of God. The bulima will of God is the creation of man, of the heavens and the earth and of man. The bulima will of God is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. God's plan kicked in when man fell. The bulima will of God is Calvary, is Pentecost, is the end of the church age when the rapture will happen, is the 7 years of the tribulation where the wrath of God will be unleashed upon this earth, culminating in the judgments and the 1,000 years of reign on earth, and then we will end the dimension called time and be ushered into eternity. That is the bulima, irrevocable, unchanging will of God. But this matter about the tongue, this matter is that the thelema will of God requires our cooperation. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. John 3:16, we are familiar. God so loved the world. Question, is the whole world safe? No. It's whosoever believes in him. So our will has to be aligned with the will of God. Our will has to flow with the will of God for the blessings, for the life to come into us. If we choose otherwise, it is death and curses. Therefore, this is a very weighty word. The third story, you're familiar, the 12 spies that entered the promised land. All their names were listed out in Numbers chapter 13. And God said to these 10 spies, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, I will do to you. They spoke in unbelief. They spoke in rebellion. They spoke in contrary to the will of God. When God has already said, you shall enter the land, it has been given to you. They all died in the wilderness. Consequences. What happened to Zechariah? What happened to the 10 spies? A little on, I'll talk about somebody else. The passage on about the tongue, we are all familiar in James chapter 3. We read in verse 2, James chapter 3, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. A perfect man means a mature person maturing in the Lord. Now let's take it, all right, none of us are perfect. We all fumble and stumble in some ways. But the Lord wants us to keep on maturing in him, allowing his word and his spirit to work in our lives. We are able to control our whole body, our lives. Our lives are controlled by our tongue. Just as in verse 3 and 4, you talk about putting bits in the mouths of horses. You read in the book of Job, horses are fearless. In the battle in Calvary, the rider on the horses charge. Arrows are flying left, right, and center. Spears are attempting to pierce the rider and the horse, and yet the horse will just charge. A horse is fearless, and yet this strong horse is controlled by the bit in the mouth. Similarly, for large ships, the huge aircraft carriers, but which direction to go? The rudder. The Navy man, the midshipman that is in the control room will control the direction, the path of the big aircraft carrier. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It's set among our members. It defiles our whole life, our whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature. It's set on fire by hell. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing. We just bless the Lord, asking for his glory. We just thank him for Calvary. But out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, my sisters, these things ought not to be so. Is set on fire by hell. We ask the question, how does this happen? Word curses. Word curses by especially people in positions of authority, parents, teachers, pastors, leaders, and all of us as believers, because we all represent God. We are all ambassadors for Christ. We are all salt and light. We are all sent to live in the world, to be not of the world. Word curses. So as you look at the strife of tongues in the Bible, Jacob placed a curse on his wife, Rachel. He told Laban, if anyone is found with your idol, the person will die. Rachel died after giving birth to Benjamin. Joseph gave a bad report about his brothers. Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph, leading to his imprisonment. Israel wrote themselves off as grasshoppers. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers when God says, you shall conquer the Anakites, the giants in the land. Job's friends were rebuked by God for wrongly representing God. Haman spoke evil of Mordecai, erected the gallows. He himself was ultimately hung in it. The strife of tongues, as we know in life, has ruined many marriages, caused wars, untimely deaths, people committing suicide, mental health issues, has caused a stagnancy of people to backslide, to leave the church because of the hypocrisy, of the inconsistency between words and actions, has closed down churches. I know of one or two. I know one or two who are big churches, 3,000 each, and yet shrunk now to a fraction of what it was just 20 years ago. He has sent people to hell. Speak life. There are two broad principles we need to grasp today, church. Number one, we must guard our hearts. Number two, we must tame our tongues. Taming our tongues is a decision, is a discipleship issue. Taming our tongues require discipline. I'll talk about that in a moment. But firstly, guard our hearts. Why guard our hearts? Because but the Bible says in Matthew 12:34, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart is connected. Our heart is our spirit, man. It's connected to our mouths, which is connected to our interaction with people and the outside world. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 4:23 therefore says, guard your heart, how? With all diligence. Deliberately, intentionally, we have to guard our heart. Out of it spring the issues of life, whether it is life and blessings or whether it is curses and death. Whether you lift somebody up or you crush somebody, it comes from the mouth. And the root of that is from the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 12, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Parents, you have good intention for your children. A colleague, you want your team to succeed in this project. Your small groups, you want it to thrive where people are blessed coming to your small group, where they receive salvation, deliverance, and healing. A good man out of the good treasure of your heart will bring good things out of your heart. But an evil man, there's no in between. You're either good or evil. In your behavior at the point of time in that situation and circumstance. He says that we will give an account, verse 36, of every idle word on the day of the judgment seat of Christ for every believer. Verse 37, by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. Therefore, we have to deal with the issues of our hearts. When we are hurt, when we are offended, when you are disappointed, when somebody's behavior, somebody's leadership disappoints us, we are hurt, we are offended, we are thrown off balance, and then we harbor that, we nurse that in our hearts. Guard what is in your heart. We must walk clean. If we don't, it's going to enter into us, and for some of us, it's going to result in the root of bitterness, Hebrews 12:15, and the root of bitterness will defile you and defile people around you. What comes out of the mouth comes out from the heart, and this defiles a man. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 15:18. We need to tame our tongues. And it has to be something deliberate, intentional, volitional, explicitly. Why do we need to tame our tongues? Because it helps us to walk in victory. How can a young man cleanse his way? Psalms 119 verse 9, by taking heed. We must take heed according to the word of God. The psalmist says in verse 11, Psalms 119, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Unless we hide the word of God in our hearts, they will restrain us or constrain us to speak accordingly, or otherwise we may sin against the Lord. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So some of us, we are short fused. Some of us, we are easily angered. 1 Corinthians 13, love is not easily angered. You need the love of God. We sang about the love of God. We need to continually receive and experience the love of the Father to quench against the fires of being easily angered. Because it does not produce the righteousness of God. Tendency is that we're going to sin. Tendency is you're going to whack somebody. Tendency is you're going to destroy somebody. You're going to hurt somebody. You're going to mess up somebody else's life. That has to be dealt with, and it is an issue of the heart. James 1:26 goes down to say, if the person who does not bridle his tongue, control his tongue, you are in deception and your religion is worthless. It's worthless. That's why they say it's useless. Ephesians 4:29-30, let no corrupt word proceed out of our mouth. We must aim and be intentional for that which edifies the other person, that we may impart grace to the other person. And it goes on to verse 30 to say, otherwise we are grieving the Holy Spirit. And you don't want to mess around with the Holy Spirit. You don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, let your speech always be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to decide, how to respond, how to converse, how to speak. Why else do we want to tame our tongues? Secondly, because the Lord Jesus backs us up. Jesus is he who was, he was crucified, dead, buried, rose again, ascended to the Father. He's he who was. He's he who is. Where is Jesus today? At the right hand of the Father. What is his role today? He is the apostle and high priest of our prayers. Hebrews 3:1. He's the apostle and high priest of our confession. So in illustration, he's at the right hand of the Father. He turns to the Father on his left. He says, Dad, in Singapore, in Cornerstone, there is a sister here crying out to me, praying this agenda for the last 7 years. Now that incense is filled, now that bowl is filled with the incense of her prayer, now is the time to answer her. The Father looked at Jesus on his right. He turned to his left, angel, go. Then angels will descend and come and minister to this particular sister and give her that particular breakthrough she's been waiting for 7 years. And then the angel finishes his assignment, all right, and then ascend all the way back to heaven. Angels descend and ascend according to the command of the Father, Hebrews 1:14. They are ministering spirits. Jesus listens to our prayers, and which is why we are encouraged, hold fast our confession. Between the time the promise of God is fulfilled and the time we are here, there is this time gap. This time gap causes us to go through what we call the trial of our faith. Faith is to believe God. You want to believe the promise fulfilled, but it is not fulfilled now. You are here. The promise fulfilled is here. In between where you are here now and where the promise is fulfilled is time. For some people, it is years. Some people, it is months. Therefore, we have to learn to wait. And the waiting is the most difficult. It's a trial of our faith. And we are told to hold on. God's word will not return to him void. God exalts his word above his name. We sang about the glory of the name of God, but God will always exalt his word above his name. Psalms 138 verse 2. So the Lord Jesus will back us up. And thirdly, the angels will back us up. Psalms 103 verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do the word of God, heeding the voice of his word. I've given this illustration before. I go to Africa a fair bit, especially pre-COVID. All right, and in Zimbabwe, there was this church where the pastor was talking to the congregation about the protection of God. He was exegeting Psalms 91. There was an illiterate woman in the congregation. She only understood it when it was translated into her local dialect. And she had the picture where God's protection is like a big mother hen that spreads out its feathers. And then the little chicks come underneath the feathers and the mother hen protect the chicks, all right? So she understood in her dialect the word feathers. So one day she went to the market and she was pounced upon by two men who attempted to rob her. Remember, she's illiterate. And all she remembered was she screamed feathers in her African dialect. And within a few seconds, the two men dropped what they tried to grab from her and ran for their life. What happened? Her angels came and whacked the two fellas. It doesn't make sense to anybody else, but her word, feathers in her dialect, connected with the word of God, the living word of God. And angels heed the voice of the word. I don't know about you, some of us who drive, right? Sometimes when you drive, you got some crazy driver there that's served right in front of you. I say, Lord, no. And that's how the Lord protects us. Like, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. That's why we call upon the name of the Lord. Or somebody attempting to cross the road, and from far you see that this old man trying to cross the road, you better slow down. I say, Lord, help him to cross safely. And here you see a speeding bus on the left, a speeding lorry on the right. You just have to call on the name of the Lord. The other part is something we need to do as children of God. We need to tame our tongues. Yes, we have to tame our tongues. And how do we do that? Two unchangeables. I've said before, in life, hold everything loosely. Hold your spouse loosely, hold your children loosely, hold your finances loosely. In life, hold only extremely tightly to two things. Hold extremely tightly, number one, to the word of God, to the promises of God. And number two, hold extremely tightly to your relationship with the Holy Spirit. They never change. Hold extremely tightly to the word and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. So on the word, we must establish our foundation and build our faith. I met with a businessman just a few days ago, struggling. He has businesses all over Asia. And he found out recently that his key man in Malaysia has been siphoning funds. He said, what do you do? He runs about 30, 40 establishments from F&B to stores to sell retail stuff. All right, and this guy's been inflating this, talking to suppliers, cutting here, cutting there. What do you do? And then he found out his other guy in North Asia was doing the same thing. Entertainment, spent $20,000, $30,000 per entertainment, from golf to dining and so forth. All right, nothing wrong with entertainment per se, but this guy was just filtering money away. Well, the boss is in here. The boss is traveling here, there, and everywhere. And then he says he had been trying to draw close to God in the recent 2 to 3 years. He went to a Bible college recently, took half the day, all right, and really struggled. And he says, Pastor, I struggle to read the word of God every day. I said, don't worry. What we need to do is the intake of the word. So how do you intake the word? The word of God is food language. It's milk, bread, and meat. You intake the word of God by hearing. That's what all of you are doing now. You're hearing the word of God. Read the scriptures. Study, ask questions, remember the principles and promises, and meditate, ponder over it, and weave it into your prayer. Anything that you do deliberately, intentionally for 60 days, according to the neurologist, will become a part of you. You must do it for 60 days. And that requires intentionality, that requires a discipline. 60 days, you'll become a habit. And that's what you do. So some days you are unable to really sit down literally to do your quiet time. It's okay. You hear the word. Some of us, we learn audio, listen. Some of us, we read. Some of us, we watch. Some of us, we need to discuss and talk. All right? By all means, get the word into you. And what is more important is the word of God must produce faith. It must ignite faith in our spirit man. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Not our the physical hearing per se. It's the hearing in our spirit, that download, that insight, that revelation. So you have to posture your hearts. In Proverbs 4, the wise man say, pay attention, our will. Listen closely. Ah, this is something, the word of the Lord. Do not let your gaze turn to the left or to the right. Your will, your full attention, and guard your heart. That's how faith is produced in our lives. And then develop our faith. How do we develop our faith? It's called the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. I believe, therefore I spoke. I believe I'm a son of God. My name is in the book of life. I'm totally forgiven. I'm highly favored. I have the anointing upon me. We all have the anointing that teaches me all things. The Lord will enable me, empower me. I do all I can. I prepare all I can. Surrender. He will carry me through. I believe I'm always protected in Christ. Don't do anything silly, anything stupid. Don't take unnecessary risks. I'm always protected. The enemies come to me at one direction, they were dispersed in seven. I am blessed with every blessing of Abraham. Galatians 3:29. Because I am a descendant of Abraham. All who are in Christ Jesus are descendants of Abraham. I'm blessed with every blessing of the law. Why? Because Jesus is my righteousness. He has fulfilled every law. So I'm the head, not the tail. I'm on top of my situation, not below. Everything that the Lord has given to me is blessed. My marriage, my children, my grandchildren, my finances, my ministry, my coming in and going out. And I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. What do you believe? You believe, the Bible says, speak it. Weave it into your prayer. Declare what the Bible declares. Say what the scriptures declare. That's how you build faith. Then we minimum 2% or 3%, husband and wives. What do you believe about marriage? What do you believe about your children and your grandchildren and your life ahead? They say, I'm getting my 45th wedding anniversary. It should get better and better, like good. I wanted to say good vintage wine, but pulling your leg. What do you believe? If you are a single person, a sister with a sister, a brother with a brother, what do you believe about your small group? What do you believe about your church? There will be a spirit-filled church. It's a word-based church. People will come to know the Lord. People will be saved. They will be delivered. They will be healed. They will experience the presence of God. That's how we build faith convictions. And after that, speak the word of God. If anyone speaks, verse 11, 1 Peter 4, let him speak as the oracles of God. You may be only a homemaker, a housewife, a mother. Speak the word of God to your children. Bless them. Bless her. I remember this grandmother, she said that when she was looking after her granddaughter, every day when she feeds her and so forth, she play on her phone, all right, the blessing song, the number 624 to 26. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep her. She just prayed over her granddaughter. And recently the granddaughter, now she's 5 years old, all right, she told the daddy tape recorded it and sent it to the grandmother. She says she sensed a presence beside her in church. She cannot explain. And she looked around, she didn't see anybody. And next thing she said, she heard an audible voice. So the father asked the daughter, what audible voice did you hear? I love you. Then he asked the daughter, who do you think is the voice? The Lord Jesus. This is the second or third encounter. When she was 2 years old, she consciously received Jesus as Lord and Savior on her own. Because of the blessings of the grandparents, the parents, and they brought it up. Words. Words that is aligned with heaven. Words that is rooted in scriptures and led by the Spirit. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Paul says we need to meditate. Whatever is true, noble, pure. I found this acronym very helpful. Think before you speak. Again, intentionality. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary and kind? Don't say things that are true but unkind. The Bible says you speak the truth in love. On the other hand, don't say things that are kind but untrue. You know, we want to be politically correct. We want to be a man pleaser. We say things that are kind. Oh, you're so good. You're this, that. You're exaggerating. It's kind, uplifting to the person, but it is untrue. We need to speak that which is true and kind. And then the Holy Spirit. Number one, be familiar with His guidance. How does the Holy Spirit guide us? through our personalities. Our personality is our soul. Primarily the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we decide and respond. He says in Hebrews 8:10, Hebrews 10:16, quoted from Jeremiah, this is the new covenant knowing the voice of God. This is new covenant decision-making, new covenant guidance from God. He will work through. There are five keywords here. Number one, the laws of God. The laws of God is the will of God for you. It's the instruction of God for you. Secondly, mind, your thinking faculty. The thinking faculty must be aligned with the mind of Christ, which is the word of God. Then the feeling faculty, the heart. The heart is the seat of our emotions. We must allow the Holy Spirit to temper, to mold our emotions, our feeling. And then the next word is put. Put means immediately you receive the download. He put the thought, after this lunch, what do you eat? Your favorite char kway teow or bak kut teh or whatever, all right? You know immediately. But for some other people, for major decisions in our life, the Holy Spirit is still writing. Your life partner, your change of jobs, your spiritual life and growth, He's still writing. You're still waiting upon the Lord for a major decision, whether to go migrate or whether to go to a mission field. Yesterday, there was somebody here waiting to go back to Israel. All right. Wherever the Lord is leading you for ministry, for work, for assignment, you are still waiting for the Lord to confirm. He's still writing. Because He's putting into place certain people, He's putting into place certain events and certain situations for you. This is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Be familiar. So what do we need to do? Surrender completely. In the meantime, go with the flow. Follow the nudging and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Green light, keep on moving. And then when you find the restraint of the Holy Spirit, stop. Red light. And then when certain things happen, when it is amber light, you're not sure, wait, be vigilant. That's how He guides us. Go with the flow. Forget about the thunder and the lightning. Forget about a prophet, a man of God, a woman of God to come to you, thus save the Lord. Forget about it. Go through your life as per normal for most of us. For most of us, day-to-day guidance, day-to-day living. The prophet may not be with you, your cell leader may not be with you, but what do you have? You always have the Word and you always have the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then live in total dependency on the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul talks about. Walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. All these verbs talks about total dependency on Him. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. I'll end by mentioning this story in Numbers chapter 20. God told Moses, Moses, this time around, don't strike the rock. This time around, speak to the rock. But what did Moses do? Instead of speaking to the rock in faith, in obeying God, he struck the rock. And not only did he strike the rock, he struck the rock twice. This is disobedience, and it cost Moses his entry into the promised land. A very high consequence. A very high price he paid. So when God brought him up to Mount Nebo, he says, Moses, look, I want to be like Moses. At 120 years old, his eyes was not dim, nor his strength abated. He can climb up Mount Nebo. God says, look. Then Moses bargained with the Lord. Lord, how about it? You're a merciful God. You are gracious. You're kind. You're loving. Would you allow me to enter the promised land? God says, no, capital N, capital O. It was a consequence of Moses' action. Certain consequences is irrevocable. It's too late. And this happens to all of us. We need to release words of faith, not frustration. Moses was frustrated with the pressures coming from the Israelites. We want water, water, we want water now. The Lord still provided water. But it cost Moses when he did not act in full obedience to the Lord. He was frustrated and the Lord was testing him. The Lord was purifying his hearts and motivations. His disappointments yesterday has blocked the promises of God from being released for tomorrow. He needed a fresh touch of the Lord, and so do we. Let's stand as we close in prayer. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder of the power of our words, the power of the tongue. And Lord, this morning we look to you and ask of you to help us and deal with these two broad areas of guarding our hearts and taming our tongues. For some of you here in the congregation, your heart is wounded. You have been disappointed at certain people. You were offended. For some of you, you are in pain because of a negative incident, a negative experience. And that wound, that disappointment, that hurt has caused you from time to time to utter words that are harsh, that bring curses and death. For some of you, the Lord wants to bring you to a new season of authority and power. And for that, the Lord requires full obedience. For that, the Lord requires a level of discipline to be filled with the Word, to be filled with the Spirit. In total surrender, bring your life, your thinking, and your feeling under the authority of Scriptures. To bring your thinking and feeling under the leading of the Holy Spirit. For some of you, the Lord wants to purify your motives and your desires, issues of the heart. If at any time in the last half hour or so, the Holy Spirit has put His finger on that area of your life to deal with it, would you raise your hand to God, says, Lord, yes. Raise your hand to God, says, Lord, I want to deal with this area in my life. I don't want to be stumbled. I want to walk in life and blessings. I see many hands. If this is you, I want you to make a bold step, leave your seat, come to the front and build your altar to the Lord. Says, Lord, I'm in business. This will be a significant change in my life, in my living. This will be a significant decision. I want to live for you. I want my words to be faith-filled, not frustration, not anger, not disappointment. Lord, I want to be healed. I want to give my life afresh to you to walk in the fullness of life you have for me. I want my life to count for the many you have brought into my life. And if you come to the front, just close your eyes, open your hearts to the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. He's right here. Some of us here, we are in ministry. And especially when they're in ministry, we are to speak the oracles of God. I speak that with fear and trembling. You speak the oracles of God. Granted, none of us have arrived. None of us are perfect, but don't take that as an excuse. Keep on going in that right direction. If you're a cell leader, you're a group leader, you are in a position of influence, your words matter. Your words carry weight. Some of you are mothers, you are bringing up your children, or you are a grandmother, a grandfather. Your words carry weight. Your words carry blessings. Your words carry life. You must grasp the significance and the weight of this word of the Lord. And today, for some of you, this is the moment, this is the time when you surrender totally. And says, Lord, help me, deal with me, to deal with the issues of my heart. I give you a moment to be on your own, commune with the Lord. And the rest of the congregation, wherever you are, just open your hearts to the Lord. Ask the Lord to sanctify you true and true. Have a minute more. Just talk to the Lord. Church, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You pray after me. Father God, I thank you for loving me. For loving me so deeply. I thank you, Lord, that nothing in my life can be hidden from you. All of my life is naked and laid bare before you. I thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. I submit to you afresh. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Master. You are the King of my life. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling in me. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm a child of God. I'm deeply loved. I'm completely forgiven. I'm highly favored. And Lord, right now, I ask of you to heal my heart. I apply the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. I bring before you the wounds, the pains, the disappointments, the offenses that is in my heart, Lord. And I take the blood of Jesus to cleanse myself from every defilement, from all these wounds and pains and hurts and disappointments. I take the blood of Jesus to cover myself. I thank you from your word that I am blessed because my transgressions are forgiven and my sins are covered. The devil has nothing in me. And I ask of you, Holy Spirit, you are my comforter to soothe away all my pain, all my disappointments, all my offenses, and comfort me, Holy Spirit, and heal me now, Lord, and I'll be healed. Father God, would you bind up every of this wounds and pains and hurts and disappointments. Heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. And I give you thanks and give you praise. And Lord, I commit my life to you. I pray as the psalmist do, set a watch, Lord, over my heart and over my mouth. From this moment onwards, Holy Spirit, help me to be sensitive to you, to your promptings, to your leadings, for every word, for every conversation, every thought, every feeling, to be tempered by you, to be molded by you. Fill me, Lord, afresh with your word, your living word, and fill me, Lord, afresh with the life of the Holy Spirit. So I give myself to you with thanksgiving, with praise. I'm your ambassador, Lord. I'm your salt and light. Wherever you have placed me to live, to work, in all my coming in, all my going out, I thank you, Lord, you are for me. You are not against me. And you will enable me. You will empower me by the power of your word, the power of the blood, and the power of the Spirit to walk in victory, to be blessed and be a blessing to others. Thank you, Lord, for I pray all this, giving you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord and give thanks.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.